Well, we've got some. Perhaps we could ask you first of all, and Father, if you could tell us some what you remember about how Antigonish struck you when you first came here. What kind of a town it was, and what St. Effects was like when you first came here as a student.
Well, now, there was just a main building. I came here in 1901. That's a long time ago. The main building was the all these other buildings that we have now. Most of them are not in existence at all.
Must have been a pretty small class.
Oh, a small class, yes. Well, the other 200 perhaps or so.
Oh, yes. 200 students.
Maybe less than that.
What sort of a place was it in those days? Did you have, you know, was there as much interest in the hockey and the football and all that?
Oh, just
sort of
yeah, they had a good football game team. And we used to do the odd little bit of practicing. I never got to be a good football player, but we had a good team at that time. Hockey was beginning, and got a rink started in my time. I built one there.
You mean they didn't realize that
there was nothing there to help them out except just to give them a little training to go elsewhere. In my case, I realized I had a vocation early in life, and there was a tendency, I was the only son. There was a tendency to get me to the academy in St. Peter's, you see. I went there with the 8th grade.
Oh, yeah.
And I took the 9th, 10th, and 11th grade there. Of course, when I got the 11th grade, I thought I was pretty well on for anything. So from then, I went to St. Effects.
Oh, yes. Most of the people who would have been at St. Effects with you, would they be people who were, say, fairly well off financially, or?
Well, no. There were a good many. Not as poor as I was, but they either struggled to pay for their education, you see.
Oh, yes. Well, you think how long do you think it took, say, the attitude to change, that to accept this idea of providing people with the kind of education they really needed?
Oh, it took them for the whole lifetime, I may say. There's very little of it.
You don't think it's accomplished yet, eh?
It's not near accomplished yet, no. We never, for instance, grasp the necessity of vocational schools. It'll be in the last, perhaps, I'd say, within the line, perhaps a little within the next last 10 years, last 3 or 4 years more than any. And that was everywhere. Now, the vocational school idea has developed a good bit, you know, but it caters to the trades and to the technical trades, and there was not very much done for the ordinary rural development, like farming and like that, you know. We had an opportunity of going, for instance, of taking advantage of the agricultural school in Truro, but very few had any notion at all of thinking of it, not even yet, you know.
Why do you think it's taken us so long, and why do you think we've done such a poor job of understanding this need, Father?
Oh, well, there are many reasons, you know. To take my own case as a born of Scotch parents. We had very little agricultural training in the Highlands and the Hebrides, where my grandparents came from. it was just a matter of hard work and rich soil. What soil we had was very rich, and we could easily raise the food for the family and that sort of thing. But the earning of any money was very difficult. But traditionally, you see, we didn't have, there was nothing to develop that interest in rural life.
Well, when the Extension Department was getting underway, Father, did you have really good support from, say, the people themselves that you wanted to help? I mean, it was very tough, I guess, to make them understand what this was all about, wasn't it?
Oh, quite. It was very difficult.
Did you ever get frustrated and figured that you were just going to throw the whole thing out?
Well, I had the advantage of being very poor myself, you see, and I went through the hardship of even the St. Peter's Academy and the seminary and the college, you see. And then after that, I had 5 or 6 years working as curate, you see, in Sydney and Anticonish and so on. And I got into another upper class, like living and working. Then the war broke out. I went to the war in 16, didn't go the first year. I went in 16, I was there for 3 years. And then when I came back with the results of the war boiling everywhere, you know, the condition in our rural parishes were very, very tough, you see. And I came out of the war in 1919, and I went to Boysdale in 1920.
Was this as a pastor, Father?
As pastor, yes. And there was, I went there in 1919. And we lost our church at the time, Boysdale Church. And I had developed a kind of an idea of the old, of the meeting so many of the church buildings in England and Scotland and France and so on, you see, all of rock, you know. And Boysdale was a very rocky district with any amount of rock there. So with the conversation of Father clergy discussions, one of them, particularly Father Ronald McDonald, you know him?
Yes.
I developed the idea of putting up a stone church. And that's a story in itself, you see, but I got the idea that an architect was necessary, and I left it largely with the architect who designed the present mutilated church in Boysdale, which is mutilated at the present time. There are reasons for that too, you see. But the struggle to build the church at the time was terrific, you see. The only men of income in the parish, and that was comfortable to a lot of the other rural parishes, was the railway section men. They were the best men, best income we had there. And there was no pensions of any kind, no allowances of any kind, widow's allowance or children's aid or that sort of thing. And what we had in particular was the woodwork, pit timber largely, you see.
Oh, yeah.
And we failed in my day, and I've failed myself, you see, even to get the contact with the coal mine, with the Dosco in Sydney. I remember going down there with Father McKinnon and another delegate to beg for the privilege of making our own timber, except going through the merchants, you see. But we, Kelly wouldn't even give us that. I never, I always...
You mean you wanted to be able to sell directly to Dasco rather than have to go through the...
Quite. We were only getting a pittance for the timber anyway, you see, and that was the merchant had to slice a little percentage over that and so on and so forth, you see, and then the freight. But that made it, these are the things that made life very difficult, you see.
This was back in around 1920?
That was in the 20s.
This was
right
the...
after the Depression. It was in the Depression. The big Depression was in 1919, I think. And we had the real effect of the Depression in the 20s. And it was hard. It was...
So that actually, even then, before the... you got into the Extension Department, you were actually involved with the people's economic problems.
Oh, yes, very much so. You see, then when I came back, you see, I realized the condition we were in, you see, and there was no, unless the returned soldier was able to get to college, you see, it was very difficult for them to get employment of any kind, you see. A lot of them went away altogether, but the few remained found it difficult to get employment. Some of them went to the mines and like that, you see. But,
I'm sorry. Do you want to change the tape?
No, I have about 3 minutes.
Oh, I'm sorry to interrupt you, Father. We just want to make sure we don't run out of
the tape. Oh, it's such a long story, you know, and it's so mixed up that it's very difficult to get anything. But I'm emphasizing this, you see, that with myself in that area down in the Quebecan area, there was Father McCormick in East Bay, living largely under the same conditions, except that quite a number of his parishioners were working in Sydney and Christmas Island. Father McDonald, Christmas Island, and Father McCormick, Father McKenzie at the time in Iona. And we did in the 20s, you see. And then in the other parts of the diocese, there'd be, say, for instance, Father Lochan MacDonald in Zurich. I'm picking out those who seem to bite and get the idea pretty well, you see. Father Hugh John and in Heatherton, he was very active. He came in. So we developed the idea that we get the group together to initiate us in Avex to get some assistance there.
A group of priests.
With a few laymen, you see. There'd be a few laymen with us, the agricultural representatives who were very active in the province at that time. G.C. MacDonald is still living. Dr. J. McSween, Steve McKinnon, and these fellows, and others too, they'd come to the invited guests to our meetings and discuss things. And we came up here, I suppose, for 4 or 5 years, 3 or 4 anyway. An area to help out either to. My own idea was to get a larger number to the agricultural college in Truro, but that didn't spread abroad. It didn't get far. But we finally got a delegation to the college.
This delegation was mostly from Cape Breton, was it, Father?
Well, mostly, yes. Of course, we had. That was in the late 20s. A.B. McDonald was inspector of schools in education at the time. He was a tremendous help. And R.J. McSween in one of the other districts. And we, a delegation, there were 4 or 5 of us, went to the Board of Governors, and Bishop Morrison was in the chair. And we had nothing very definite arranged, you know, as a proposition.
But was Bishop John R. then? Was he was a
parent? Well, Bishop John R. was, where was he now? He was in Georgeville. He was in Georgeville or St. Andrews. He was in St. Andrews perhaps at that time.
Was he active in
that
group?
Well, yes, he got into that group very strongly, you see, from St. Andrews.
From, was he in from the earliest stages?
Well, he was, I think so. I think he'd come to be, certainly at our conference in Agnes, because we all have had him, we always had him as secretary of the conference. He was good at that. He was able in that way. But I remember at that conference, you see, we asked for assistance, you see, and there was always, I'd say, in the mind of the old rector, or and perhaps some of the others, to a fear, you see, something would start in the Gavatin area, you know, that caused a kind of a little irritation, you see. But on the Board of Governors, there was Judge MacArthur and Father Charlie McDonald, I remember. And to get interested in it, for education work, Bishop Boyd was on that too. He was active in the work. And then where the money was to come from? Perennial question, you see. And I was always grateful, and will be, to Judge MacArthur, who stepped up on that occasion. He told the bishop, well, he said, we have no definite ideas about finance as far as this part of the work is concerned, but I think we can take for granted, he said, that if we do something worthwhile for the people in general, we'll get remuneration, we'll get a way out. He gave a very strong answer to the bishop, who always listened very attentively to what laymen had to say. When priests spoke, he wasn't so easily impressed, you see, but I remember right through the mill, every time a layman, A.S. McIntyre made a terrific impression on the bishop one time too, R.J. McSween, these fellows, maybe McDonald. They helped out in a great way. Anyway, Dr. Cody was granted his Board of Governors. Well, go ahead and...
To work with your...
To work.
Group.
See, and there's a big history before then, you see. But they allowed Dr. Cody to take a hold of the work and give him a year or half. He went abroad, he went west, and he went to various places and got some ideas, and he developed that ideas, you see, in the history of the whole thing, largely from the work that he was doing himself in Marguerite with his brother and farmers out there. So he developed a program and it started out in 1925 or 1926 or 1927.
Before that, Father, the priests that were working in Cape Breton and the group of priests that you said you had come back 4 or 5 years in a row to Antigonish to try to get some help. Did you have much contact in those years with Father Tompkins and the work he was doing?
Oh, considerably, yes. Well, I was a year at St. Ecstasy, standing by after the war was over. And of course, I had his classes when I was there as a student. Then I knew him pretty well from my time in Georgia. I was in Georgia for 3 years. You see, he did exceptional work in his own line, and so did little Dr. Hugh, who was interested in the farmers of this area here.
Get back to the when the Board of Governors allowed Dr. Cody to come to work for your group. You see this as the actual beginning of the Extension Department?
That was the actual beginning, you see. The following year, he succeeded in getting AB with him as assistant, and that developed from that on. AB was a great worker. Then a few years after that, A.S. McIntyre came on the staff, you see. And he got the work going in the mining areas. The credit union work started in 1928, I think it was. The first one was organized here in Broad Coal and Reserve Mines. You have the literature, I suppose, and it's lots of literature here, you see.
Yes, we have pretty well the basic stuff that we're interested in now, really more is people's recollections that aren't so much down on paper, perhaps. Looking back, Father, how was the general public acceptance of the kind of things you were trying to do? Were people...
They weren't very sympathetic, you see. There was nothing evident, you see, to show the young men where there was an increased income, you see. The way we were farming at the past that time, it was just working in the old-time way. A lot of them are doing it yet, you see. And we had the disadvantage in the island of Britain and the east here. We had poor land. A lot of the great part of the land was poor and hard to cultivate, but we had some rich areas like Antigonish here in Inverness County. But there was no. It was easy to get enough farm products to live on, but to get any money for any extra farm products was a difficulty.
I can recall as a child myself, in when I was growing up in Glace Bay, often actually hearing, half in fun, really, St. FX people being referred to as communists.
Yeah.
And I wondered if beyond this half joking words, if you really ran into bitter opposition.
Then, from the standpoint of business of any kind, from very good, sincere prisoners too. They were very sincere, and they were not to be criticized in any way. They were just victims of the circumstances in which we lived, because they had a very hard sledding also to meet their difficulties in trading and doing anything with the imports from the farm. For instance, take an example of the Boysdale district. We didn't have big farms, they were small farms. And the little experience we had from the county agents and the Truro Agency emphasized the necessity of doing more intensive farming in the way of vegetables and berries and like that to produce an income. And I remember we studied out, for instance, the easiest, the most common vegetable we had was potato and the turnip. Now these were heavy products, you see, and we figured out that the only way that the vegetables from a district, Boysdale, even with the railway going by there, to get to the Sydney market was either through the freight or the railway, or by truck. and we figured out that the only transportation that could pay the farmer to market his vegetables was no less than 4-ton trucks, 4-ton loads, going as we always did with a little wagon load, and that was a starving existence there, but it was not economic. Now there was a difficulty, you see, and then we didn't have the roads. It was only within the last 10 years that the Boisdale Mountain there was paved, you see, up to Boisdale. Just 2 or 3 years of paved roads there, and the roads were impossible for a great many parts of the year. So it's an accumulation of difficulties that are very, and our education, you see, our education was such that there was nothing to give an incentive to the young boy, particularly, to go to come to agricultural school and farming. For instance, in one of those years in the 20s, from those conferences, we decided to get 25 scholarships of $100 each for the boys of the diocese who were to take a short course in Truro, which was about 10 days or 2 weeks or so. And to get the boys from the farms to take advantage of that, which everything paid for them, up to $100, was very, very difficult. And some priests in the rural areas just give no attention at all to it. But we did succeed in getting 35 students there for 2 years. And then it was a question of getting the $2,500. So the first 2 years we did that fairly well, but the third year it was more difficult. So we put on a campaign, a little campaign, in the Gibbeton areas, went down in twos to the different parishes to see, and succeeded in getting enough to get them there for the third year, but after that it was gone.
This was while you were
parish priest in Boisdale. I was parish priest in Boisdale all these years, yes.
Going on.
Yeah. Oh, it was an interesting period. I'd love to be able to have the technique of writing or doing something that's in my pastime. But I'm no writer, I'm no... It's a great disadvantage, but for Father John R. Bishop Bernard, a great deal in a secretary, he was a great help. And he was interested, he grasped the necessity of it. Now, even as priests yet, you see, it's hard to get a large group of priests that have any confidence at all in the rural areas. So rural parishes are dying. There's no question about it, you see.
You think this is a problem now, Father?
Oh, it's a big problem now. It's a matter of closing them up and attending them from some centres or other. Take Boisdale District. Do you know that in Boisdale District today, they buy their bread, they buy their milk, eggs, and everything that was brought up and raised in abundance for the home, at least in my time there. There's just nothing in there. The pop store in the area brings the milk that goes by our door back from Sydney and used in the community. Now there's a for instance, now one of our enthusiasts for the first time in rural life, and he's a very good man, is Father A. McDonald. You quiz Father A. McDonald today, and he'll tell you that there's only a very small percentage of the farms in many of our rural districts that can make an economic living. Have they got to bring in machinery and that sort of thing? He actually discourages the thing. Now, I don't agree with him, because I think there are other ways. This is a world question, you know.
Yes, this is at, they seem to be trying now to...
They're more successful now in the Truro and Valley area, you know.